You're back with Tobiah and Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got Sue Bolton on the line. G'day, Sue. How are you?
Hi.
Wasn't that lovely, that music?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have very much success down at Merribick Council last week, did you? Tell us, our listeners, what's happened.
Well, basically what happened is we've had the Palestine flag flying, and the motion I moved last year was for the flag to fly until there was a permanent ceasefire. But on the 20th of January, when the ceasefire was announced, the CEO quickly whipped down the Palestinian flag. And the ceasefire is not a permanent ceasefire. It's, you know, if you read the stages of the ceasefire, there's not even any negotiation over a permanent ceasefire till the end of stage one. And Netanyahu's been, you know, talking quite openly about there not being a second stage of the ceasefire. So it's clearly not a permanent ceasefire. So the decision to whip down the flag is, in my opinion, breach of the decision we made last year. So I moved a motion at the council meeting on Wednesday night to reaffirm that decision and to put the flag back up. Now, the makeup of the council has changed since the council elections. So we've got different councillors on the council now. And so, but it was a very weird vote. There was discussion and there was some debate. And then there was an attempt by the ALP deputy mayor, someone who actually signed the Palestine pledge during the council election period. And she attempted to, she claimed amend, but in reality replace my motion with a motion to put up a peace flag to develop peace and unity in the community. Anyway, I challenged that, and so the, you know, council was in a bit of a tiz over meeting procedure, but eventually they recognised they had to debate my motion, which was had been submitted in advance. And then when it came time for the vote, five councillors voted for my motion, so myself and the four Greens councillors. Two councillors voted against putting up the flag. That was an independent councillor, the mayor, and the ALP deputy mayor. And then three councillors abstained. And under the Local Government Act, an abstention is counted as a no vote. So then the mayor used her casting vote to declare that my motion was lost. So it was...
Oh, that's outrageous.
Like, absolutely outrageous what was done at the council meeting. And I think it's irresponsible use of the casting vote when only two people voted against my motion and there are three abstentions, that then you use a casting vote to defeat by motion. So it's really quite outrageous. But then the motion to put up a peace flag, I opposed that, and the Greens supported me, and one of the councillors abstained, so the peace flag didn't go up either. Because, in my opinion, replacing the Palestinian flag with a peace flag, using their arguments to stop division, create unity in the community, blah, blah, is really all about whitewashing genocide, ignoring genocide.
It's so slimy.
I mean, there's no reason for a peace flag right now. It's because it's not.
Yeah, absolutely right. And it's sort of like, yeah, you can have peace in the graveyard when everyone's dead after a massacre. You know, what sort of peace are you talking about? But it's clearly just designed, you know, the Palestinian flag was clearly an embarrassment to some in the council, and they couldn't wait to get rid of that peace flag. Get rid of the Palestinian flag.
Pretty skewed if that's your first order of business. to remove a flag, you know?
Yeah.
No, well, actually, it points out how important it is for people to stand firm and to make it clear, because it's quite clear that there's people out there who are quite prepared to do quite dreadful things but require everybody to say that, what a good guy you are.
Yeah. No, that's right. And it also shows that, you know, the authorities don't want any expression of solidarity for the Palestinian people.
I mean, we're seeing that.
They don't want any acknowledgement of the genocide.
We're seeing that across the board with Antoinette Latouf, Mary Kostakides even under attack from the Zionist Federation.
The flag issue, what's going to happen next?
So at the moment, there's no Palestinian flag, and the peace flag's not there either. That basically means that the council hasn't made any new decision. Yes, they voted against putting up the flag, the Palestinian flag, but they haven't overturned... You know, they haven't made a new decision by putting up a this.
Yeah, yeah, they haven't got rid of your original motion, basically.
Yeah.
They haven't resolved it.
So I think that is important. I think I'm glad they didn't make the decision, they didn't vote in the majority to put up the peace flag. So basically all of that, you know, that's where things are just in abeyance like that. But I think there are people who are starting to think about, you know, actually using some formal channels to lodge complaints against the council for breaching a decision and pulling down the Palestinian flag when clearly there was no permanent ceasefire.
Yeah, right.
And there may not be a permanent ceasefire. You know, it would be great if there was, but there may not be a permanent ceasefire. And... Right. So
it's a watching brief, basically. I mean, because the area that you represent, there is a very strong position being put forward by citizens that they do support Palestine and the people.
I think so, because while I've received criticism from taking such a strong pro-Palestine public stance in Mirrabeek, I'd say the criticism I've received is very little. Sure, there have been people who, you know, they definitely campaigned against me in the council election, etc. And, you know, I've got some abusive emails from Zionists or just right-wingers. But on the whole, like, that, it's very little compared to the support. So I would say most people don't oppose the flag of the Palestinian flag or the pro-Palestine decisions that have been made by council. But what it does show is that when you win a progressive position, you have to defend it. You have to try and defend it. And this is the flag. We've got a position in Mirrabeek about procurement, not to procure from companies that are involved in weapons manufacturing or the genocide in Gaza, and that's a position which has to be defended. I mean, the council has not renewed contract with several companies. They've let their contracts run out with several companies that are involved with the Israeli military, and we've got to defend that, and. You know, we've got a different set of councillors on council. You know, we've got three ALP councillors and three independents, and the independents don't support Palestine. And, yeah, so we, you know, it's a different set of councillors and we've got to be prepared to defend it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's also undemocratic, not just from the point of view of Palestine, but if they can do this with Palestine, they can try and do this with other things, other decisions of council where, they interpret things in a wrong way to justify a particular point of view and quickly, do something which goes against the spirit of a resolution that's been passed. So it's actually an issue of democracy. So it's actually broader than just the Palestinian flag.
Yeah, it is, actually. I must say, though, the Palestinian flag and the issue of this really resonates because it's about bullying. There's this underlying sense of bullying in this community and society that wants to oppress progressive thought.
Absolutely. And you're talking about Antoinette Latouf and other people, Mary Kosakidis and so forth, being under attack. There's so many people who have stood up, many well-known. But even just recently, there was a cricket commentator...
Yeah, that's right.
Covering the cricket in Sri Lanka, who was sacked by his employer for doing tweets against the genocide.
oh, my goodness, a bit of genocide amongst friends.
Yeah, so it's sort of like it's... there are all sorts of people who have stood up, which is really, really fantastic that so many people have stood up from all sorts of, parts of life, because they are disgusted by the fact that our leaders are refusing to do anything about a genocide in front of our eyes, and they're disgusted by what they're seeing, the relentless bombing of Gaza.
Yeah. But also, it's been uncovered that the Daily Telegraph actually tried to set up people.
I think it was the Daily Mail.
Daily Mail tried to get it to set up an inflammatory situation with a known Zionist provocateur, going into a coffee shop that was a pro-Palestinian site, to try and create controversy, which was outed by Crikey. They didn't get what they were after, but they're obviously creating these memes that they would like to set against the devastation in Gaza and the Zionist policy of destruction.
I think that has been something which has been happening from the far right for some time. Going back to, various far-right influencer-type figures, going back, through the anti-fascist protests that the left has been organising in Melbourne and other places. And, I think they've been trying to do that for a long time. And I imagine that's what's happened with these two nurses. Well, I don't know all of it, but... I suspect this was a case of someone goading some nurses into saying things they should never have said, and then filming it and using it to try and,
beat a flame.
Yeah. I think that's clearly... I suspect that's really what happened in this particular case.
The message really is, as you said... and it's the same with the Palestinian flag on the Coburg City Hall, is that people have to defend a progressive thought.
Absolutely. And it's like when workers win an enterprise bargaining agreement, that agreement is only as good as your ability to defend it, because lots of bosses try and not implement things which in that EBA go against things in the EBA. And so if workers aren't prepared to stand up and defend
and keep an eye on the
things they've won, then the bosses will try and make that a regular thing of not implementing what was agreed to. And it's the same with Palestine and, I'd say in the United States. Like, it's the same with various things that Trump's backing in the US. So you can never, while capitalism exists, you can never just win something and then just rely on that being there forever. you have to be prepared to defend it, because just because you've won something once through voter politicians doesn't mean it's safe forever. So, you know, that's really the lesson, is that really things, you know, while elections and so forth are very important, it's also being able to maintain your ability to mobilise on the ground level that is the absolute key.
Well, it reminds me of John Cummings in Liz Ross's Dare to Struggle, Dare to Win. The book ends with, it's only a battle, not the war.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks very much for talking to us this morning, Sue.
No worries, thank you.